Hello, and greetings to you all, whatever you may be, and thank you, as always, for your appreciation and help during my life as an actor.
And happy Halloween.
I got a rock.
What's up, everybody? Horror Guy Keenan here, your host of the Everyday is Halloween podcast. It's July. We celebrated our independence here in America, and we've blown up half the state and country and all that good stuff. Right now, it's Comic-Con Saturday. So a lot of news is coming out from the woodworks, man. Like, a ton of stuff. And I pretty much have been waiting, and I'm very sorry for releasing this a little bit later in July. Only because everybody's been holding off on their news to release it this weekend for Comic-Con. So I got together as much horror news as I could, and I was kind of waiting for a few more scoops to come out, but I don't want to wait any longer until like I go back to work and I can't edit this thing anymore. So I'm going to give you guys everything that I've pulled together under the horror tent, so to speak. So I'm going to jump into a song real quick, and we'll get right back to all the great news and all that fun jazz. It's just going to be me talking the entire time. There's no guests. There's no giveaways. I'm sorry. I also have your Screen Factory releases, rumor mills, reviews, what's lurking on Netflix, and more. So stay tuned.
Of your last goodbye. The house is haunted by the memories that refuse to die. I can't get away from the vision that brings intimate glimpses of intimate things. A voice in my heart like a torch singer sings. I wonder who's kissing him now. The house is haunted by the echo of your favorite song. The place is cluttered up with roses that have lived too long, much too long. The ceiling is white, but the shadows are black. The ghost in my heart said you'll never come back. The house is haunted by the echo of your last goodbye.
As some of you know, on June 7th, a very sad thing happened. We lost actor Christopher Lee at the age of 93. Christopher had been best known for his role as the Count in a lot of famous classic horror films by Hammer Studios, not to mention Saruman in Lord of the Rings, Count Dooku in Star Wars, James Bond villain, and the list goes on and on. It's very sad, and I'd like to pay tribute to him, even after that little clip from the beginning, which was his last kind of public video. But this is a nice little tribute to him from a good friend of his. Miss you, Chris.
Vincent Price, of course, and when we told him out at his home in California we were paying this tribute to you, he said he was falling over backwards to be here. And he is. 8,000 miles from Hollywood to prove you two of a friendship will to survive anything, Vincent Price himself. Now, as two of the all-time greats of horror movies, you have something else in common, haven't you?
Yes, we do, Eamon. You know, it's a very peculiar thing. I don't know whether it's supernatural or just perhaps ecological, but we share the same birthday, May 27th. A few years apart, of course. As Chris will always remind you. Yeah. But you know, we once celebrated our birthdays together in the Chamber of Horrors at Madame Tussauds. It was a lovely party.
Vincent, how would you rate Christopher's success?
Well, I tell you, maybe it could best be illustrated by a story that actually happened to me the other day. I go on a lecture tour every year all around the United States, and I got on a plane, fell asleep immediately to avoid fear, and a man came and shook me and woke me up and said, "Hey, you're Boris Karloff, aren't you?" And I looked at him and said, "No, Boris has passed on." He said, "He has?" He said, "Well, then you're Christopher Lee, aren't you?" And I said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "Well, then who the hell are you?" And he went and sat down, never bothered to ask. But, you know, quite seriously, I really welcome this opportunity to be here, Chris, and to pay a tribute to a man who has made a magnificent contribution to a very classic genre of the cinematic art, the horror film. To a warm and wonderful human being and a master of his craft. What's your name?
This is your life. Very great moment from This Is Your Life. And yes, Christopher, you will definitely be missed. All right, so let's just dig right into Comic-Con news. Oh my God. God, I don't even know where to start. The new Ghostbuster pictures have been released. I don't know if you guys have seen these, but it has all four women in their outfits in front of the new Ecto-1 mobile. Looks pretty cool. Not going to judge. Still wish the movie was part of the whole canon universe and Ghostbusters. I don't know why. Although I think that's something to throw off fans. I'm really hoping that within the movie some kind of cameo by Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray or something will happen. Apparently that's in the rumor mill as well. We'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, I guess a photo got released early, and Paul Feig kind of countered that and released his own photo, which is an even better one in front of the Ecto-mobile. So looking forward to that. Hopefully more stuff will get announced in Comic-Con this year, or this season. Ha ha ha. All right, moving on. Fear the Walking Dead is going to have an August release. This is the second Walking Dead TV series that AMC is putting out by creator Robert Kirkman. It takes place in Los Angeles on the other side of America, a little bit before the outbreak happens. In the current Walking Dead series, Rick wakes up in the hospital, exactly like in the comic book, and the apocalypse had already happened. This kind of takes place a little bit beforehand. Has a lot of different races in it. It's not a bunch of white people complaining. but it looks good. It looks like a lot of fun. I know a lot of people are kind of sick of the undead zombie thing going around, but I can't get enough of it, so I'm looking forward to that hitting TV in August. Ash versus the Evil Dead is premiering on Stars this Halloween. We got our first look of Ash wielding the chainsaw and killing deadites and everything that we've been waiting for. The only thing I'm a little sad about is that kind of has that like Stars movie TV show look to it. I wish it had more of that movie feel, but I guess you can really only capture that when you're actually making a movie. But hey, that's like the littlest complaint I could have for this thing. We've been waiting to see Bruce Campbell strapping to the Ash costume for a while now, so I'm pretty excited for that. You can see the first clips of that on our Twitter page and our Facebook page and every other page that's associated with us. If you want to watch some of these clips and check out these photos, everything that's coming out from Comic-Con, that's at Hallows Eve 365 on Twitter. And as always, on Facebook, it's Every Day is Halloween Podcast. So yeah, very excited about Evil Dead. There's also a rumor, apparently that happened at Comic-Con this weekend, that Ash from the original Army of Darkness in Evil Dead films and Mia, the girl that ends up getting the chainsaw arm in the Evil Dead remake, would team up to make one big movie. Now, I know you're probably thinking, how would that happen if you haven't really seen the remakes and whatever? I mean, there's, if you've seen Army of Darkness, they, you know, there's time splits that you can go in between places with the Necronomicon controls. So it would be a cool little mashup, but I feel like that's more or less like something we would see in one of the Dynamite Army of Darkness comics and not really something in the films. But if they are able to pull that off, man, I think fans would be very happy. Not really horror news, but The Force Awakens has a behind-the-scenes clip, and it is amazing. It's 3 minutes of just shots from everything from The Force Awakens. Looks really great. The reason I'm bringing it up on this podcast is that J.J. Abrams is going back to practical effects, and this 3-minute video kind of really shows off what they're talking about and what really, like, there's creatures, you know, like, even if they look a little cheesy, you know, there's one big furry guy with giant goggles on and steam coming out of the ships, and you just get this really great feel of on location, and that's what really made those first three Star Wars films so iconic and so great. And whenever you look at, you know, George Lucas's prequel films, it's everything's on a blue screen, and you kind of lose that real life touch. So I'm really happy to see practical effects coming back in a big way with The Force Awakens, which is dated for December 18th. Moving on, if you need your kaiju fix, Pacific Rim 2 will start shooting this fall. At least that's what Guillermo del Toro said at his panel for Pacific Rim 2, and it has a release date of August 4th, 2017. And I can't wait to see another Pacific Rim film. The second I sat in that seat and watched Pacific Rim, it was like watching a live-action Evangelion, or anime for that matter, just everything you wanted to see in a big-budget robot versus monster showdown film. So, very excited for Pacific Rim 2. Can't wait to get more of that. Moving right along, Tales of Halloween. I have a lot of good friends attached to this project, and they just showed off all their gory details at Comic-Con this year. Neil Marshall, Darren Lynn Bousman, Axel Caroline, Lucky McKee, Andrew Cash, Paul Sillett, John Skip, Adam Gersh, everything. All these great minds have came together and made a little Halloween tale kind of film, perfect for the season. And there's a lot of great stars. I mean, Barry Boswick, John Landis, Adrian Barbeau, Greg Grunberg, Lynn Shea, James Duvall, Sam Witter, like, the list goes on. I think it was Ben Wolfe's last role before he died. It's everything you want in a Halloween film all crammed together from all these great horror minds of today. So don't miss that. That comes out. It's tentative release is Halloween, but I hope they get it out sometime before Halloween so you can really, like, get the feel of it. That's the one thing I really hate about when things come out on Halloween. It's wham, bam, done. You're in November, and that's gone. I need it to come out September, October 1st. Give us a little bit early. And as I stated before, you can watch the first trailer for that on our social media pages. Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, his production company, Skybound, has a new film coming out August 14th called Air, starring Norman Reedus, go fig, and Djimon Hazu, the Academy Award winner. This looks like a really cool project. Of trying to keep the last bit of humanity alive in these containment units and these techs that run these containment units, and some shit goes down in the vaults that are below the destroyed world above. So look for that very soon in August. Along with Sinister 2's release, They just released their Red Band trailer and have a bunch of Comic-Con promotion stuff going on out there right now with projections around the Light District or Gas Lamp District area. If you get a photo of a Bagul and post it to social media, you could win a trip to Six Flags for their haunted experience this October. So keep a lookout for that if you're listening to this the weekend of Comic-Con. A&E just announced that they have a new show coming out. If you're a fan of the Bates Motel show and like your little horror throwback into a TV series, well, then Damien is right for you. A&E just ordered the first season of Damien, which is actually a sequel to the original Omen film. With I guess they have like a quick trailer that shows you bits and pieces from the actual film in the trailer for the new one. So that should be interesting. I mean, I like what they did with Bates Motel, so this will be a interesting take. Apparently they grabbed the guy from Merlin to be Damien. So his acting chops should be pretty good, I guess. So there's just a teaser poster out there right now for it. So look for that in the coming months.
I imagine you don't remember much. That'll change. The past is like a noose around our necks, wouldn't you say? It's a whole new world. The seal's been broken, the trumpet blown. You have so much to offer. Your father would have been proud. It's so good to see you again, Damien.
Devil has many names. Identified by his number. 666. Does that mean anything to you?
He's coming. The Beast.
Here's a song from my good friends in Calabrese. This is Vampires Don't Exist.
Do you like the way I kiss?
Yes, I love you now.
Do you love me?
Looking through your window way.
speaking of vampires, The Strain starts tomorrow night for me. Anyways, this Sunday. Apparently, the director has announced that this is the meat and bones of The Strain. This is when all of the vampires wreak havoc on the city and people are living underground and shelters just trying to stay alive. So definitely check out The Strain on FX Sunday night.
Too long I've lived, too much I've seen.
All we can do now is fight.
Season one of The Strain was really about how this strain gets started and spreads. What starts with this mysterious plane turns out to be basically the beginning of a vampire apocalypse.
The threat is becoming unignorable.
As goes New York, so will go the rest of the world.
There's some tension between a lot of the characters.
This is what your mother is.
All right, F!
It could break up the strong survival of the group.
After all the things I've shown you, suddenly you think me a doddering old fool?
One drop of vampire's blood.
Rather than look to find a cure, they're looking to fight a virus with a virus.
It's not just a small group who are on this mission anymore. It's other irons in the fire, like the ancients.
It's kind of like the glimpse of what's about to come, which is a very, very different reality. This new regime is going to start basically taking over our society.
They're constantly ratcheting up the stakes.
It's getting darker. It's quite horrifying.
It feels like it's rooting it further into a sort of real gut terror, and it's fun to watch.
Who doesn't pay their taxes? Wesley Snipes doesn't pay his taxes. Gets him kicked out of Marvel. And then brought back, apparently. I know, it's not a good rap. Apparently at Comic-Con, people have talked about seeing Snipes talking to producers over at Marvel about somehow reappearing. The only way I could see that happening is the TV series, not the one that had the rapper that was on CW a long time ago. This is Wesley Snipes returning to maybe a Netflix series, since the Daredevil film or the show is doing so good. And they kind of hold all the Marvel Knight titles, including Iron Fist, Blade, Ghost Rider, Daredevil, Punisher, all those guys. So that could be interesting. Hopefully Snipes pays his taxes this time and can maybe make a season two. Who knows? Mike Daugherty's next film, Krampus, is going to hit theaters this December. And is he's at Comic-Con right now pushing Krampus. They have a little nice little display that I posted up on the Facebook page and Twitter page, and really looking forward to that. That's the thing I was kind of holding off. I really wanted to see some of Krampus before I did this show, but they haven't really posted much trailer wise so you can bet the second that trailer hits, I will have it up on our Twitter and Facebook page, so keep an eye out for that. For all of you who don't know, Krampus is a mythical creature that if your kids are bad on Christmas, he'll take them away and beat them with a branch. And he's a pretty demonic creature. Check out the Krampus parades if you haven't seen them on YouTube. Some very, very awesome, again, practical effect looking Krampuses walking the streets in the snow and clanging metal against the ground and scaring the shit out of children. It's pretty magical. If I do say so myself. And I think he's also going to talk a little bit about Trick or Treat 2, since it did get greenlit, I think, last Comic-Con, which is slated for next year's release. So Mike Daugherty's just nailed him out of the park, man. I can't wait. That man has a great vision. If you see X2, you know what I'm talking about. Eli Roth's Green Inferno Finally getting a release date is September 25th this year. So congratulations to Shark Week host Eli Roth for getting that finally off the ground. I don't know if any of you guys have been watching the Shark Week stuff with Eli Roth, but it's pretty hysterical.
Hey everyone, I'm Eli Roth, the man responsible for some of the most terrifying films of the past decade. But right now, my job is to get you ready for Shark Week 2015. How? By giving you the top five Shark Week moments from the past 27 years.
I'm just waiting for that one year that, like, nothing happens with sharks and Discovery has, like, no material. And it's kind of like, yeah, sharks just kind of swam and ate fish. That's, everybody's pretty much safe this year, I guess, so, yeah. Go watch Sharknado.
I was like, all right, I don't want to, like, really sound stupid when I do this show today. Like, so learn a little education on sharks. So I look up sharks on the internet, and I see, like, whale sharks. I'm like, oh, that must mean a whale and a shark have sex. And then I think, well, how does a whale and a shark have sex? And I looked
up... Was there a video of it?
No, because there's a thing called whale sharks. So yes. I thought they must, you know. And then I realized that whales are mammals. And sharks are animals. They have nothing to do with each other.
Did you ever see a tiger shark?
So basically, the dolphins have sex with each other, but the sharks don't. So I thought, then how is it such a thing? But the difference is there's a whale shark. He's the biggest shark in the ocean, but he's not so scary. And then you got the great white. It's all, there's like over 400 kinds of sharks. But the whale shark is kind of interesting. He's not so mean.
Tara Reid, you're the dumbest person alive. That was her promoting Sharknado 3 on Shark Week. Anyways, moving on. Vampironica is coming soon from the creators of Archie. If you guys have known that they did the Afterlife with Archie, which was a very great comic, and then The Chilling Tales of Sabrina. This is the next installment with Vampire Veronica, kind of like a Vampirella character, which looks really cool. So look, actual comic news coming out of Comic-Con. Crazy, huh? Stephen King's Dark Tower is finally getting something happening with it. Something new. Sony Pictures and Meteorite Capital just closed the deal with, now I don't want to screw this name up, Nicolaj Arcel? He's a co-writer of the Swedish Girl with the Dragon Tattoo flick. He's to direct the Dark Tower and a potential first film for the franchise. And I think it's taken a long time for this to kind of finally get off the ground because Dark Tower is very different from Stephen King's normal writings. And it's a kind of long southern tale. And it's I can't even describe it here on the podcast. Definitely give the books a chance before the movies come out and people ruin it for you. I'm just happy to see something actually happening with that franchise. So that's all the news coming out of Comic-Con as of right now. Stay tuned to the social media pages as always to get more updates, news, videos, pictures, all that fun jazz. But let's go surf with the Ghastly Ones for just a little bit. And when we get back, we'll give a huge announcement from Screen Factory of their new set of Blu-rays. Wipeout! Man, I hope nobody surfed into the creature's lagoon. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Screen Factory just announced a slew of great Blu-rays coming out within the next year, and some of them even this year. Let's get started. Women's Prison Massacre. Blood and Lace, the first time ever on home entertainment format, and that's out this November. Troll, which will be paired with Troll 2 as a double feature, which is also out this November. Ghost Story, The Guardian from director of The Exorcist, The Car, Nightmares, one of my favorites, Death Becomes Her, which is also out this November, Garbage Pail Kids the Movie, it's the collector's edition, and The Return of the Living Dead collector's edition. Very excited for that one. I want to see some love and labor put into that movie so much. These guys keep pushing them out bigger and better until finally there's going to be no more horror movies left. But very excited from that team that are putting stuff out. Cannot wait to get my hands on some of that stuff to review for you guys. Speaking of, I have movies to review for you guys. Holy cow. All right. First off, we got The Town That Dreaded Sundown, which is on Netflix right now. It's by Image Entertainment, RLJ Entertainment. I reviewed this not too long ago on the Netflix releases. Pays great homage to the original and takes place 65 years after the original. And it's not really necessarily a remake as it is a sequel. And they just do it a really good way. A lot of gore keeps you guessing to the very end. I loved it. The Blu-ray looks amazing. If you guys can find it out there, definitely go grab this one, pick it up. Definitely recommend it. And next up, It Follows, finally released on DVD and Blu-ray. This one, man, I have not seen a horror film do this trope ever. A sexually transmitted horror disease that follows you. So if you have sex with someone, then they see like these creatures that follow you around. They're basically dead people that want to kill you. So you have to go have sex with someone else to pass along those genes, so that way you don't die. The only thing is, though, you have to tie them up and tell them, because if they die, then it gets put back on you. And it's a whole thing back and forth. It's shot beautifully. Rich Vleeland, a.k.a. Disaster Piece, he did a little thing on the Blu-ray talking about his job scoring the film, and it's probably one of the best horror scores I've seen or heard in quite a while. And you can get the Mondo soundtrack on eBay probably for like $200, because it came out and went super quick. But yeah, definitely check that out. There's also a theatrical trailer on the Blu-ray, as long as poster art. And a commentary by critics from shows that aren't mine. So, meh on that. So definitely check those out. Now, on to anything other than a physical media copy. Penny Dreadful just ended its second season on Showtime. This show has been done so adequately, just beautiful. I love every minute of it, and I'm very sad to see it over. The journey that these characters have taken, and the writing that gets put into these classic characters that I feel Universal can't really pay as good as homage to as this show has. Everyone is there. I don't want to say the names of the creatures, because sometimes it might spoil it to whoever is in it, but the actors, actresses do a great job on the series. The season ends with a disbanding of some sort. So I cannot wait to see what happens with season 3 and where Showtime takes these characters. I cannot praise this series enough. To me, it is the best show on television right now. If you are a horror fan and you love the classic monsters, do yourself a favor and watch Penny Dreadful on Showtime. Now, on to something a little bit different. Scream. MTV's Scream series. I have not watched MTV since Pauly Shore, so it was very interesting sitting down and watching this series based off Wes Craven's original horror film. Oh my god, it's kind of like how you guys heard Tara Reid talking back there to me, honestly. It's, if you ever watched an ABC original series, add Killing to that. That's what this feels like. So you're getting a melodramatic story with characters that are written just like the characters in the first movie, and the only good part about it is that they get killed off every episode, so at least you get to see these dumb kids die. You know, that's all I gotta say. It's better than a lot of other types that I've seen of this kind of like serial killer-esque TV series as of late, but it's definitely made for the young at heart, let's just say that. So I mean, I'm gonna keep watching it, not sure how long, but it's interesting. We'll see how it goes. Apparently it got greenlit for season 2. Yay. Now, this hasn't really been, I'm not sure if it's officially announced yet or not, but quick little Comic-Con news. If you're a fan of Batman the Killing Joke, DC Animated is turning it into an animated feature. And if you've seen any of the past DC Animated features, you'll know that they're better than anything Marvel could ever put out. And if you love Bruce Timm and Paul Dini and the guys that make the Batman animated series, they're going to put the love and labor into a Killing Joke, which the new Batman game, Dark Knight, has kind of implicated and added to it. So look for that soon. No official date as of yet.
Bloodiest double horror show in history. I drink your blood, and I eat your skin. Men become animals and eat their victims. I drink your blood, and I eat your skin. A young boy infects an entire town with rabies and turns a group of men into a band of bloodthirsty zombies ravaging a peaceful countryside. I drink your blood and I eat your skin will make your blood curdle and your skin crawl. You will sit there and suffer through the tortures of the damned. You will sit and watch this shocking ugliness splashing across the screen. You will ask yourself, what acts of sadism will this electric knife be used for? What horrors will be performed with this axe, this hose, this dagger, gun, this sword, all the implements necessary to make this the ultimate in adult horror films? We have painted a bloody picture, but it is only a small part of what actually takes place in I Drink Your Blood and I Eat Your Skin. Can you take it? If you have a strong constitution, we challenge you to test it and sit through I Drink Your Blood and I Eat Your Skin.
And now we move on to, I guess, your favorite section of the show, which is what's lurking on Netflix Instant this month. I figured I'd start out with one of my favorite films of the last year, I'd say, which was American Mary, directed by the Soska sisters, starring Gingersnaps Catherine and Sable. It's a film about a young woman who is lured into a world of freakish surgeries for money, and things go awry from there. Number two would be Poultrygeist, a musical by Troma Trope. Fast food workers discover the restaurant they work in is built on an ancient burial ground, and the chickens they cook are trying to kill them. Pretty straightforward and simple as that. And also friggin' hilarious. Another classic, Teeth, which I can't really say too much without giving it away. You just have to look it up and watch it yourselves. And last but not least, I'm just going to leave you with the trailer for this last film. And it just got added, I think, a few days ago. And I'm pretty sure nobody will be angry that this is on Netflix.
I have a feeling we're about to embark upon a most unprecedented expedition.
Once they made history.
I must see to it that you die.
Now, they are history. Bill and Ted are dead.
Welcome to hell.
It's the Grim Reaper, dude. How's it hanging, Death?
But they're having one hell of a time.
This is not what I expected this place to look like at all. We got totally lied to by our album covers, man.
Taking in the sights.
Not bad, dude! We totally knew a guy got one of those in his bucket of chicken.
Making new friends.
Excuse us, dude, but is there any way we can get back?
You may challenge me to a contest.
J7.
You have sank my battleship. Best 2 out of 3.
What?
Enjoying the family.
No way!
Invading the present.
I totally possess my dad.
Battling the future.
You metal, dude! Excuse us, but your shoes are untied. Can't believe we just met with death.
And meeting their maker.
Guy? Congratulations on Earth, not to mention your other great planets. Mars, Jupiter, Uranus.
It's the comeback of all time. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. It's a trip.
Best of 7?
Damn right!
Ah, dude!
Left hand red.
Ah! Yeah!
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yes, I'm sure no one is opposed to that. So that's the show this month. I just want to thank you guys for listening. As always, follow me on Twitter at Hallowsy365 and on Facebook at Everyday is Halloween. And also, make sure to visit Wizard World's Con Radio official page on Twitter at Radio for Geeks, and it's also Radio for Geeks on Facebook. Don't forget, Michaels has their Halloween stuff up just a little bit, section by section. I think Hobby Lobby also has a little bit of stuff, so it's slowly trickling in throughout the summer, but I'm sure by next month I'll have a lot more to report. So thank you all for listening, and stay scary. And here's a little bit of music from the Bloodlines Vampire the Masquerade game. This is Chasm. Take it easy.
shaman. When I was a kid, he would say, evil is always waiting in the shadows. And only one man would rise to stand against it.
Yeah, looking good. Looking sweet.
What the hell?
Pablo, I'm gonna tell you something I've never told anyone. 30 years ago, my friends and I spent the night at a cabin. We found the Necronomicon Ex Mortis, the book of the dead. Certain passages were recited. It awoke something in the woods. Something evil. I was the only one to escape. But now, the evil has found me.
First thing I gotta do is see a guy about a book. There must be some spell I can say to undo all this.
The other first thing I gotta do is some cardio, because my heart is jackhammering like a quarterback on prom night.
Here's the plan. We bust in there, fight through the carnage, let the boomstick do the talking. Things get hairy, use your bottle.
I don't think it's a very good weapon, Hefe. You had to stab like 50 times.
I was sharpening it for you. Now, come on. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's tango, bitch.
Fuck. Who the hell are you?
I'm your new best friend.
Yo, Granny. Let's go.
I'm not a grief counselor, but if it's any consolation.
You're kind of like a young me. Dead ice ruined your life and you're hot as hell.
You know they were Jewish, right?
I did not. Wish you could have said something before I made those dumb crosses, but okay.
Groovy.